Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that is certainly something that is really needed in this world. But this world, unfortunately, is upside down and backward and headed for destruction. Not only the problems in America, but the problems in the world, as we see in the news and are able to watch because we have television around the world. In June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, approved homosexual marriage. Now, it's very interesting when that date is compared to the calculated Hebrew calendar, which is the calendar that God uses. That's the one He inspired. That's the one that keeps track of time according to the way that God keeps track of time, as we find in the Scriptures. That day was the 9th day of the 4th month. Now, when you check into the book of Jeremiah, that is the day that the Babylonians made a breach in the wall and came into Jerusalem in its final assault to destroy Jerusalem in 585 BC. So that day sealed the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Now, that day also foretells our demise and our destruction. But it's going to take some time for that to come because other things have to take place. But to base a decision contrary to the Word of God always causes God to bring judgments upon the people, especially when you understand that we are the modern descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. And if you don't have our book, America and Britain in Prophecy, you order it. You can email us. You can call us. You can write us a letter. Because until you have that book and understand the history behind America and Britain, you will not understand Bible prophecy and the duality of it and why it so fits us today as well. Now, there are some people who are offended by this, but the Word of God is meant to offend, to correct, to bring repentance.
Stay out of a woman's womb.
We do not have feeble minds. We do not need more fathers. We do not need more people telling us how to control our bodies. This is a fundamental right of a woman. This is a fundamental right of all humans to have control over your body.
There are those who will practice their abominable sins in spite of what God says. Now, in Leviticus 18 and verse 22, it says, "You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination to God." Now, an abomination, some people try and say abomination is not a sin. However, an abomination is a gross sin. Now, the Bible tells us what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you go back and read the account there where God Himself personally came down with two angels to see whether the cry of sin in Sodom and Gomorrah was as great as it was reaching Him. And of course, Abraham bargained with Him, and He got it down to 10 people. If there were 10 righteous in Sodom, God said He would spare everyone. Now let's come to the book of Jude. Let's see why God destroyed it the way that He did. And this is why it's so important for us to understand the Word of God, simply because we have the Bible. God has given it to us. We claim to be a Christian nation. We use God's name, but you know, unfortunately, we have done exactly like the children of Israel of old. We profess the name of God and try and honor him with sin and pagan religious practices. So Jude writes this. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities surrounding them, there were two more cities that were destroyed as well. And these were the get-along, go-along cities. You can't tolerate that kind of evil in the land. And there are reasons why God says it should not be done. Have given themselves over to sexual debaucheries, having gone after different flesh, are themselves exhibited as a perpetual example of undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. And the way they look at God, even because of that, it's astounding. You know, there is very little fear of God in the world. And they're following exactly as Jude wrote in the next verse. In the same way also, these dreamers of filthy dreams are defiling the flesh and are declaring as invalid the lordship of God that is in their lives and are blaspheming the divine powers. And we spent 2 weeks, 3 weeks, trying to figure out what is going to happen. And the closest we can figure is this. The whole homosexual movement is now dedicated to destroying everything Christian. And the government is so much behind it that they are forbidding any chaplains in the military service to speak against homosexuality. And if they do, they are dismissed. Now, they may be trying to follow what God is saying, but the government has exalted itself above God and has fired them. So, 15 days after this decision, another blockbuster just blew upon us. And what was that? It was the result of the undercover investigations by the Center for Medical Progress, and for 3 years, they have been interviewing executives of Planned Parenthood and posing as buyers of the body parts of aborted children. We have a link that you can go to see every single one of these interviews. And it's not as the lying establishment media wants you to believe, that these were edited and cut and false. No, you can go from the link to the Center for Medical Progress and you can see hours of what they have recorded.
When you first go to the clinic, what you do in Stem Express is you go to the head nurse and you tell them if there's something you need. So let's say that day I needed a certain gestated fetus. So let's say I need a 15-week fetus for some reason. So I go, I'm like, hey, I'm looking for a 15-week fetus today. If could you let your staff know? I was like, oh yeah, we'll let you know. Some women can, they come in, they do a test, and then you find out they're pregnant. Then you can consent them. So pregnancy tests are potential pregnancies, therefore potential specimens. So it's just taking advantage of the opportunities. I would take my sample, I'd put it in a tube, I would label it with a specimen sticker, I would take it back to the room, update the task page, put, you know, one or two, how many I got that day, and I'd fill out the paperwork on my computer, print it out at the lab, and that's what I would do all day. And then at the end of the day, I would put everything in a FedEx package, and I would have to drive to a FedEx and drop off the specimen. And the sad thing is people would ask what was in the box, and I didn't know what to say. Like, oh, there's dead baby parts in there.
Now then, this becomes a terrible and difficult thing. See, because when you go back and you ask the question, how did this happen? Well, it was January 23rd, 1973. By 7-2 Supreme Court decision, they gave a woman full authority over the first trimester of a pregnancy. And then other states had it expanded out to partial birth abortion. Now, there have been a lot of people trying to fight this, to resist it down through the years, but it has been turned back very, very, very little.
Most of you won't recognize me or my real name. It's Norma McCourty. I'm also known as Jane Roe, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion in America and changed our nation in an unprecedented way. Back in 1973, I was a very confused 21-year-old with one child and facing an unplanned pregnancy. At the time, I fought to obtain a legal abortion, but the truth be told, I have three daughters and have never had an abortion. However, upon knowing God, I realized that my case, which legalized abortion on demand, was the biggest mistake of my life.
Even the Senate could not muster enough votes to defund Planned Parenthood.
And to help with the vote, Reverend Patrick Mahoney invited people around the world to join online as he prayed at the Capitol today.
That the power of God's love, that the mercy of God would intervene.
Even with the bill's failure today, the pro-life Susan B. Anthony List says today's vote is important for pro-lifers.
This is truly atrocious, what is going on in these abortion clinics across the country. And if we can't get some of these legislators on board with defunding now, we need to know. We've got to get them on record so that we can take action in the next election.
The judges didn't consider the long-term consequences of what would happen. However, before they made the decision about 8 years earlier, officially in all the public schools in the United States, they started teaching sex education in the schools, in particularly the high schools. Well, if you're going to teach teenagers how to have sex in the classroom and tell them that there are no laws, there are no boundaries, and after all, it's good. Well, they didn't understand the Bible. They didn't understand the long-term consequences of what would happen. So let's come back here to Leviticus 19 again, and we will see one particular command. Now, both of these things, same-sex marriage and abortion, are tied to two commandments of God. One, you shall not commit adultery. And this law of God is the overarching law for all of the laws concerning sex, which are delineated in Leviticus 18 through 20. So if you want a real study, you go back and study that word for word, and it's going to be an eye-opener for you. Now here in Leviticus 19 and verse 29, God says this, "You shall not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall into whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." From 1963, then about 8-9 years later, 1973, the decision Roe versus Wade. And you teach your daughters that it's okay to have sex. And if you get pregnant, we'll help you out. We'll give you an abortion. You don't even have to tell your parents. Aren't we good people? We prostituted our daughters. And the land has become filled with sex and violence, hasn't it? Just as God has said. Now, with this expose by the Center for Medical Progress, God is making it known to everyone in the United States of America, and yes, the whole world, that unless there is repentance, unless this is stopped, his judgment shall surely, surely come. It's already been coming, hasn't it? Yes. Now, the number of abortions that have been accomplished here in the United States since that time is close to 60 million. And worldwide, it's 1.3 billion, with China having 330 million abortions. Now, other countries are doing the same. So just a little sidebar on this. Revelation 11, God calls Jerusalem, which is typical of the sins of the world, Sodom and Egypt. Sodom, the sexual practices of the world, which also includes abortion and all other acts of immorality and fornication and adultery, and Egypt. Egypt, he's telling us that the religions are all going to come together and be just like it was in Egypt. Now, as God looked down, as we see through the prophet Ezekiel, after he had seen many, many of the abominations and gross sins of idolatry and sun worship and false teachings, then he said to him in verse 17, "Have you seen, O son of man, is it a light thing to the house of Judah," and that applies to us today, "that they have done the hateful things which they do here today?" Stop and think. Can there be anything more hateful, anything more evil, anything more depraved than killing the most innocent life in the safety of its mother's womb? God always judges. Let's read on. "For they have filled the land with violence and have turned to provoke me to anger still more." That's something. Now, verse 18. "Therefore I will also deal with fury. My eyes shall not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them." You can't cry out to God in one instance, ask for his mercy and help and forgiveness, and then turn around and live like you've always been living. God will not hear. Just to show you how upside down our values are. Some of those executives of Planned Parenthood, because they were recorded on video, went to a judge in San Francisco, now the most liberal city in America and the center and capital of homosexuality. And they went to a judge who was put there by the liberal abortionist. And his wife, one of the leading advocates of abortion at any time, any age. They got an injunction because the women who were interviewed and saying very openly and blatantly what they were doing with the body parts and how they were making money on it and how they could identify them and get whole specimens and, yes, even whole babies, which go for around $24,000 for the first round wholesale. So these women who were practicing murderers, legalized by the law, were afraid of their lives because of these videos. So they went to the judge and got a temporary restraining order because their rights were being violated. Now, is that not the most hard-hearted, absolute, upside-down, and backwards way of thinking, protecting legally the dedicated murderers and sellers of body parts by the law? Well, God has some other thoughts coming. Now let's come here to Isaiah 58. Here's what God says. Every true minister of God should be doing this. Verse 1, Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, do not spare. No, don't back off because somebody's itty-witty-bitty little feelings are hurt. What about the sin? What about the death? What about the macabre of selling parts of aborted babies? Lift up your voice like a ram's horn and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. Oh, yes, we're God's people. And seem eager to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and one that did not forget the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They seem anxious to draw near to God. Oh, yes, they're religious. Isn't that amazing? Well, how does God look at that? How does he view this kind of thing? Just come back here one chapter. Isaiah 57, verse 3. But draw near here, you sons of the sorcerers, and you seed of the adulterers and the harlot. Against whom are you making sport? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a lying seed, being inflamed with idols under every green tree, killing little children in the valleys under the clefts of the rocks? God sees. Can anyone hide him or herself from God? Can anyone conceal their own thoughts from God? Now remember, you go back and read Genesis, the sixth chapter. Why did he bring the flood? Because the thoughts of man were only evil continually. What do you think he's going to do with this generation? Why do these things take place? Come back here to the New Testament. There is a reason. There is a Satan, the devil. And there are the demons. And when people turn away from the true God and turn away from the Word of God, and how far have they gone now? Well, they're even raising up congregations of Satan worship. Yes, indeed. And they even have programs on television looking for the haunted houses, looking for the demons, calling out to them, "Are you here?" Whenever they seek Satan, they will find him. And Satan will always give people who want to sin an immediate benefit. But they don't know the end of what is going to happen. I do not suppose that those women who work for Planned Parenthood, when they first started out, thought that they would ever come to the point that we're going to read of here in 1 Timothy 4. That they could sit over a meal, eat a salad, drink wine, and discuss how they get the body parts out whole during an abortion. That their minds, that their hearts would be so calloused that it was just an everyday thing. After all, that baby was not human, according to them. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit tells us expressly that in the latter times some shall apostatize from the faith, turn away from God entirely, and shall follow deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Question. Are they following the Word of God? No. Well, if they're not following the Word of God, what are they following? Who is the God of this world? None other than Satan, the devil. Who's inspiring all of these things to take place? And where are the ministers in the pulpit? And God lays it at their doorstep first. And then the politicians. And then the people. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Oh, doesn't that tell us today? Isn't that the most prevalent thing that is happening? Yes, indeed, without a doubt. Their consciences having been cauterized with a hot iron. Doesn't that fully describe those who are directly involved in it? Those who know people who work in abortion clinics and do these things have seen that they have to detach from reality. There is no way that they can allow themselves to have a conscience of pity or a conscience of remorse. Don't you think God is going to judge for all of this? And it's going to come. And we need to be ready and prepared. And if you need to find God and come to God, well, you go over our series, How Do You Return to God? And you order our book, Lord, What Should I Do? And we'll send you another book with it. Why is Christianity failing in America? And you are going to be astonished that if you think the world is upside down, you don't know how far they are from the real God. Even the Christian churches, and how far they have gone in Baalism, which is sun worship, when the day of the sun is Sunday. God has done it in the past. He's done it to Babylon, to Judah, to Israel, to Persia, to Rome, to Egypt, to Greece. All of them have had the judgment of God because of sins and debauchery such as we're discussing here. So we need to understand it's going to come. So we need to ask ourselves, personally and individually before God, Lord, what shall I do? God says, return to me. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.